Hello everyone, welcome to the Round 18 Roundup stream. Great to see a lot of you already in the chat. Hope you all had a good weekend. Obviously a lot of big scores in the NRL, which has translated into some big Supercoach scores as well. Hopefully you all can hear me okay. Do let me know if there's any issues, but great to see so many of you waiting already in the chat. Obviously I had to start a little bit later tonight at 7 o'clock, but thank you everyone for joining me. Hello to Dean, Micah, Galway, Paycheck, Mark Lawless, Mozar, Corey, Ian Johnson as always, Sambo, Queenslander with the same love heart, thumbs up emoji as always, Don J, Cody, lots of others from before, Sticky Nicky, Luke, great to see you all in the chat. Shout out to Luke as well, who was the first message saying he's currently ranked 37th, so congrats Luke on the fantastic rank, although, yeah, you said you scored 1476 and I'm expecting to drop, so I guess on that point, we'll quickly discuss what we think is probably around the par score. So I've taken averages of the Podmasters Cup and the Podmasters Second Cup. Podmasters average was 1439, the other one was 1450. So I think around that mid 1400s fuels about the par score. So I think if you're in the upper echelons, like Luke, for example, sitting at 37th, yeah, to be honest, I think there could be a slight drop. You could maybe stay about the same. But yeah, massive scores around. The high score I've seen is an 1822. There's an 1822 going around. I just saw on Twitter just before I started the stream, and I was like, holy hell, 1822. I don't think I've ever seen a score that big in Supercoach before. There were some big ones in the 2021 season, but I don't remember an 1822 because there were some, the people who went big this week were very highly owned, and there was just some humongous ones. Yeah, crazy scores this week. Like, I scored 1461, which I'm happy with. I'm happy with a 1461, but when I started taking the averages and everything, I thought, well, it's kind of about the middle ground. I don't think it's actually as good as I hoped for. But hopefully we'll get some green arrows off the back of that. And then obviously we're coming into round 19, which is another bye week. But yeah, hopefully some green arrows this week with the 1461. Just quick shout out as well to some of the massive scores I can see in the chat here. I'm seeing a lot of 1400s, 1554 from Mozart, 1531 from Mark, 1677 from Braden, which is huge. 1563, Cody saying that he's seen a 1790, so 1790 in one of his comps. Nice hair, man. Thank you so much, Corey, for that one. Abbas, nice hair, bro. Yep, appreciate that. Thank you. And straight back to you as well, even though I can't see your hair. 1840, Braden is saying he's seen. The highest I've seen is 1822, but yes, an 1840, I wouldn't put it past someone to get 1840 this week, just with some of the scores that we saw this week. Like, last week was pretty much just DWZ and Nicol Klukstad. This week, I mean, Tigers getting beat 74-0, Bulldogs getting beat 66-0, Sharks winning 52-plus points as well. Like, there was just some humongous scores this week, so yeah, it's definitely a week where I think you need to cut through some of the scores that you see and your own score and really try to digest the par score, because I think there is a big spread. I'm seeing people in the low 1300s, and you know, it came down to a few players. Like, I'm going to assume everyone owned Nicho Hynes, and I'm going to assume most people captained him. So I think everyone started very well this week. I think most people were on about late 400s, early 500s after the first game. Then Saturday, I think, was a bit of a down week, even Friday, to be honest, because, for example, I had SJ, only scored 20 points on Friday, which was very tough conditions in that game, but I thought, oh, a bit more than 20 points would have been nice. Didn't play Alex Johnson, given the conditions. He ended up getting 66. Look, that 66 did involve a double, but I thought, let me just take the chance and go with, my other options were Christian Welch and Reid Marnie. Of course, I chose a guy who scored the least out of those three. Christian Welch has updated to 40. Reid Marnie's currently on 45, but those two obviously not a massive difference. The reason I ended up playing Welch was just because I thought it'd be a middle dominated game, and I thought I was a genius after the first 15 minutes. He was offloading and everything, and then he played bugger all minutes. So that didn't work out in my favor. But obviously, the story and the hero of today for me for sure was Kalen Ponga. What a man! What a man, Kalen Ponga. I wish I would have come up with a poem for him. I haven't just yet, but Kalen Ponga, Greg Marzu, a deadly duo. Fantastic stuff. Fantastic stuff. Bradman Best obviously had a massive game as well, but what about that beard? Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it. There's been a few bit of love for the beard as well in the last couple of weeks, so don't worry. The beard is getting as much love as the hair, or it's starting to get some love as well, not just the hair. 1531 from NRL Merseyside Reds. Hopefully into the top 100. I'd be interested to see where you're currently placed, Merseyside, because 1531 is a good score this week, but it probably, like, in any other week, we look at that and think that's amazing. But in this week, it's kind of like, that's good. Is it a 1600 though? Is it a 1700? It, you know, it's just not quite hitting this week. But I think if you've cracked 1500, I think you should be pretty happy with that. If you've gotten into the, I think if you've gotten past 1550, 1600, I'd be shocked if you don't get green arrows, put it that way. 1521 from Sai as well. Yeah, so there's some really big scores this week. Thank you, Mitchell, for being a member for 12 months. Really, really appreciate that, all the support. Quickly, I'll quickly go through how my team went. Overall, it was fine. Pretty much carried by a few players, and I think a lot of people had the same story for the week. So Nico Hines, captain, was great. My trade of Mulatalo, I'm happy with that. Ended up scoring 87 with a double. Bryn Nicara, fantastic, scored a double as well, 97 points. Well, very happy. So I was very happy with the Sharks' performance. On the Friday, SJ not great with 20, but you know, Cody Walker, 79 points, was good. Alex Johnson, if I played him, would have been nice. Damien Cook got benched, but he still got a try assist for one of Cam Murray's tries, so I'll take 60 points from him. On the Saturday games, Melbourne versus Penrith, I only had Christian Welch and kind of already spoken about him. Titans Raiders, so Joe Tarpany was great. Seems to just be that if the minutes open up for him with the lack of, say, no Josh Papali'i this week, he just needs to get like five to six extra minutes, and his PPM just doesn't stop. Like, he played 59 minutes when normally he's playing about 51 minutes. So those 8 extra minutes meant about 20 extra points on what he's been kind of giving us for the most of the season. So very happy with Taps. Not happy with Dave Fifita. Bloody hell, you guys would have seen me on Twitter tweeting and half praying for Fifita to not go 100 plus. Just like, I'll take 90. Just don't even go 100 plus. Of course, he gets 107. Should have been more as well. Like, he got dudded a try, which I can't believe that was not given as a try. But he ended up on 107 plus 17. He should have been on 120. Thankfully, I guess, only 107 he's updated to. There could still be some more updates as well. Some games have given updates. Some games haven't yet. But Fifita, for me, like, if I very quickly mention, round 19, obviously, he won't be playing with Origin, but he 100% will be my priority in round 20. So part of my trade plans for next week will just to try to create a bit of bank, just to be able to go back to Fifita in one move if I have to, because, look, I'm going to quickly look at Jay Schubert's predicted break-evens for Dave Fifita. So he has, very quickly, let me just find it here. So he's got Fifita having approximately a 49 break-even and only losing 35K. So that massive 150K price drop I was hoping for, it's amounted to about 35K. Or 70K in total if you account for last week. So he's going to be over 800K with a low break even. We'll need a lot of funds to get back to Fifita. So that would definitely be a priority for me in round 20. But yeah, otherwise, not too much damage from that game. Big, probably where I just missed out this week, I think, on getting those really big scores, was that Cowboys-Tigers game. I didn't own anyone from that game except for John Bateman, and obviously his team got absolutely belted. So, you know, he ended up on 33 points, which is not great. But, you know, I didn't have Drinkwater, who went massive. He's updated to like 173. We'll talk about Drinkwater for sure a bit later. Tom Dearden has been quietly just absolutely killing it. 100 plus 3 weeks ago, 95 last week, and now 170 this week. Val Holmes, 110, so he's going to be extremely expensive. Nanai did well too. I just really was Drinkwater, and he was kind of, I think, the guy who, if you had Hines, like Drinkwater and Ponga this week, those are the kind of guys who went to like that 1600 plus range. So a little bit annoying not having Drinkwater, but I guess we can't complain too much with that one. The Brisbane Dolphins game wasn't too big from a Supercoach point of view. It was a fairly tight game. So I only had Piakura, only 36 points, not fantastic, but Asako, still solid, 52 points. Who else we got? The Bulldogs Newcastle game was where I really profited. So I was thinking it was going to be a bit of a red arrows week coming into today. I was very hopeful for Ponga and Marzu. I think I really needed big points from them. Very happy with how they delivered, obviously. Like, Marzu was getting banged up this game, but still managed to score that one line break try and got 100 plus. Just credit to, I guess, his work rate and his base power stats. But Ponga was amazing. That left side attack for the Knights was absolutely killing the Bulldogs. So Bradman Best went huge. Ponga was just cutting them up. Lockie Fitzgibbon was really good. Ponga goal kicking as well was really what was the clincher for this week. I mean, I saw a tweet earlier in the week from Barry Tui saying that he was practicing goal kicking. He must have been practicing a hell of a lot because he was slotting them. How good. I think he scored about 44 points purely in goal kicks. So, like, that's probably a reason why we love goal kickers so much in Supercoach. They are kind of overpowered, in my opinion. like 4 points for a goal kick. Like without those, Ponga would have been scoring 130, which is, look, still fantastic, but just adding those goal kickings is getting you that 150 plus. So really, really happy with Ponga. That 176 points, he's going to be getting very, very expensive now as well after that. So just taking a quick look at Jay Schubert's predicted break-even and price change stats. He's got Kalen Ponga going up about 74K with an approximate break-even of 26. So Ponga is already about 680K. So he's going to be in the mid-700s with a low break-even. So, look, I know the Knights have the bye next week, but I can imagine Ponga getting very popular the week after in round 20 because round 20, the Knights have the Tigers at home. So again, that could be a game that Ponga could do very well. And so I'm very happy with the Ponga trade-in. He's thankfully, I mean, he was a guy who I traded in for Fifita a few weeks ago. So Fifita, while he's been punishing me, I guess, to an extent, thankfully the guy I traded in has been doing very well. So Ponga has been absolutely a great trade-in for me. I've gotten like I've gotten a 95 from him, a 47, and now this huge 176. So he's been a really good trade-in for me. And I got him about the low 600. So he's been great. And then the Roosters man of the game, to be fair, I've only been able to catch small highlights of this game, but apparently Garrick played very well. I think he ended up on 84 points, and Manu and Teddy linked up for one of the tries, and Manu scored another try of his own, and he was actually close to scoring another one too. So he's actually been pretty good the last few weeks too, even at his games at centre. So 94 points I think he's ended up on. So yeah, very happy overall with those late efforts in the team. Tolu Harris, solid 61. But yeah, so I'll end my spiel about my team. I'm sure you guys want to talk a bit more about your own scores and other stuff in the matches. But yeah, I think the way I want to do this week is we'll try to go through most of the games, but there's kind of like a big disparity in games. We've got these humongous high scoring games, and then we've got these kind of really tight, like Sea Eagles, Roosters, Broncos, Dolphins kind of tighter games. Storm Panthers was tight for maybe 50, 60 minutes, and then the Panthers kind of just ended the show. Warriors Rabbitohs was a little bit very interesting game, but yeah, happy to take the stream to be a bit more chill, go through some of your questions and whatnot, but otherwise we'll go through kind of the games as per usual. Let's just see what's happening in the chat here. Currently 251st from NRL Merseyside Reds. Okay, so if you're 251st and you scored 1500 plus, to be honest, I think the way that the scores are, I'd be surprised if you managed to break into the top 100. I think you could maybe get into the top 200. But 150 rank rise, given how many big scores I've seen already, and the 1500 is a good score, but it's not like, if you'd scored like 1600 plus, I probably would have said maybe, but I think, sorry to temper your hopes, but we'll find out tomorrow morning anyway, but I'm not sure if you'll be making top 100, just there's really big scores floating around. Aman, what a wild week, starting with not checking my team at work Thursday, leaving Hines and Ronaldo out of my team. Jesus Christ, oh, that's pain. Finishing with Ponga captain, still somehow hitting 15-23. I mean, yeah, Ponga captain, obviously, he trumped Hines by 20 points, but not the fact you didn't get Hines points at all, oh, God, and still getting 15-23. I mean, look, you've outscored the majority of people, Steezer, so, that's very good that that's worked out for you, but I guess it's the thought of what could have been. What could have been if you had Mulatalo and Hines in your team, I should say. Mitchell saying, drink water, what a man. Need a new emoji for drinky. Oh, I probably do. I probably do need to have an emoji for drink water. I mean, the guy has been absolutely killing it. I mean, let's just start there. Cowboys, Tigers, why not? 74 zip. I mean, it was insane. I mean, yeah. What can I say about this? Like, Cowboys wanted their revenge, and they got it. They got their revenge. They were celebrating how Stafford Toll was celebrating back in Leichhardt, you know, doing the Triple H celebration. I think Leilua did it. I think Murray Taulagi did it. So, yeah, that was payback indeed from the Cowboys. They're definitely, this origin period has really helped them out for sure. Like, they've definitely gotten back to that that team we saw from last year that was really on form. And they're starting to score a lot of points as well. So, yeah, Cowboys for sure definitely going to be worth of interest. They're very interesting because so now they don't play round 19, so they're not going to be a trade-in for next week. But the run home for the rest of the season, it's not like the easiest, but to be honest, the way that they're playing, and they've put scores on good teams. Like, they put a score on Melbourne. You know, they beat the Rabbitohs quite comfortably as well. Like, Manly, Parramatta, Titans, Broncos is the first four games after their bye, before the bye in round 24. Then they end with Sharks, Dolphins, Penrith. Like, to be honest, it's really probably that Penrith away game in round 27 and maybe that Broncos game where you'd say, oh, okay, maybe they can't score a lot of points. But outside of that, every other of those games, we know the Sharks against top opposition, you know, they can be leaky. To be honest, that run home is not that bad for the Cowboys. And God, I shudder to think what Drinkwater's price is going to be when he eventually changes. So again, referring back to Jay Schubert's predicted stats, he's got Drinkwater for a 75K price rise and a 25 break even. Now, keep in mind, he did that pre-updates. Drinkwater's now gone up to 173. I think he ended on 158. So Drinkwater's probably going up, call it 85K, and he's already 893. He's going to be like 950,000 with a 25 break even. Like, he will genuinely probably hit $1 million, which is just ridiculous to think about. The only two players in Supercoach to get $1 million figure is Tom Trbojevic and Nathan Cleary, and that was in that crazy 2021 season. So if Drinkwater gets there, it's pretty mad. I mean, I don't know what I can say at this point. I don't know what more I can say. He's probably like, look again, I'll do a quick plug for my newsletter. I do recommend this newsletter because sometimes my thoughts do change from the original Tuesday stream. And this week I tried to put a bit more depth and analysis into it. So I had a section which was run home fullbacks. I'll see if I can put it on screen and you guys can see it maybe. You guys can see the list that I was that I had put up on Wednesday night. So what I did was I was looking at the list of fullbacks with a run home and I was looking at assuming they were playing full health. So for that reason I had Latrell at number one. But after that I had Scott Drinkwater at number two. Basically, my comments were sky-high price, but it's no fluke. Been great all season despite the Cowboys' woes. Even better option now that they're in form. I don't really think I need to say anything more than that. I also tweeted that he's probably the perfect pod at the moment. Yes, Steezers, as you say, he's the perfect pod because he's 3% owned. He's so expensive that it's going to be difficult for people to get to him. And he's just going to keep racking up points at this rate. So, like, if you've got him now, you're just like sitting there laughing because he's just absolutely killing it. Like, he could be playing himself into a New South Wales jersey, to be honest. I'm sure Teddy will play game three. But yeah, just in terms of my fullback listing, I had Gutherson at number three, but obviously you can't really comment given he didn't play this week. I had Ponga number four. I mentioned his good round 18 matchup and the run home. After that, I had Kennedy, Brimson, Buller, Tedesco, Dylan Edwards, and then Reece Walsh at number 10. But Reece Walsh is purely on the basis that he was only going to be playing like maximum six games for the rest of the season. So I've probably done Teddy a bit dirty there, to be honest, especially with the way that the Tigers performed. I mean, Buller above Teddy could be a bit silly from him, from my perspective. But I think the ones at the top, in my opinion, do seem to be about right. Like, Drinkwater, Gutherson, Ponga, they're the ones who, those three kind of stand out to me while Latrell's out. When Latrell's back, you know, maybe he's a guy that a lot of us will go to instead. But, I mean, even Tom Dearden, for example, like, maybe he's a pod at 5'8". He's a bit more of a difficult one because I think he doesn't have that pedigree. But, I mean, he played very well. He had those nice Harbour Bridge passes to get Taulagi a couple of his tries. He scored 100 plus 3 weeks ago, 95 last week, now 170. So look, he'll go massively up in price as well. But I think all the Cowboys' potential options now, Taulagi could be a pod. We know how good Val Holmes is. I mean, it's just very frustrating with Holmes is that this is the Holmes that we wanted at the start of the season when they had the unreal draw. Didn't work. And now he's killing it when everyone sold him. So he would have been a great trade back in this week. Again, plugging the newsletter. I mentioned that Val Holmes was one of the ones that I like to buy because I think his break even was meaning he's going to go up quite a bit in price this week. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird because I don't really have a lot of future trade plans with these Cowboys guys. My current fullbacks are, I've got Garrick in there at the moment. I've got Gutherson. Maybe the play is for me to keep Gutherson and maybe just get Drinkwater, try to get Drinkwater. I don't know. Or maybe I just try to can you even call it anti-podding Drinkwater? He's not even that highly owned. He's a bloody pod in itself. Maybe it's to try to go Latrell. Currently, my 5'8s are Cody Walker and Ponga, which I'm fine with as well. Obviously, Ponga I'm very happy with. But yeah, so I don't know how I'm going to get Drinkwater in if I need to. Or do I just say, sweet, congrats to Drinky owners. Credit to you. Take the points. Those are points that I won't be getting, and I need to try to find them elsewhere. That could just be what I have to do. Yeah, again, Ian, this is a good point as well with the Cowboys. I mentioned the Penrith away is probably their toughest matchup, but that's in round 27. Penrith could feasibly rest a lot of their gun players that week just because they'll probably be in the top four. They could comfortably be in a top two spot, and so they just don't need to risk them for that last week. And the Cowboys, to be honest, could still be pushing to get as high of a place in the top eight. So again, that could just be a decent game for them. So yeah, to be honest, I think Cowboys, the run home doesn't look great on paper. But I think you can still invest for sure because they're definitely playing with their mojo back. Ponga is so hot to watch. God, yep, that was I was very happy watching that game as a Ponga owner. Any other comments about this game? Had a gut feeling on Nanai this week. Glad I brought him in for Schuster. Yeah, Nanai was a nice trade in as well this week. Around that 500k price tag, you probably had a bit, you had Isaiah Papali'i, Oluwatu, and Nanai. Oluwatu was the one that I preferred. Given I think that he's generally a bit more safe and Nanai's a bit more rocks and diamonds. But to be fair, if the Cowboys are going to play like this for the rest of the season, just obviously not putting up 74 points, but just on form in general, Nanai is very likely to get attacker stats every other week. So yeah, he ended up on 106, so he's actually updated up to 106. I think he was on 84 pre-update, so he's obviously had a big game. We know he's got this ceiling on him too. So yeah, good trade in. Who was that from? That was from, where did I read that from? Sorry. That was from Braden. Yeah, good trade in Braden. Yeah, getting 106. It's always nice when your trading gets 100 plus this week. Drinky is an unreal pod. Yep, we already covered that. Yeah, Griffin Neame had a great game. I mean, yeah, just Cowboys. I don't know really what more to say about the Cowboys. Just fantastic. I mean, on the Tiger side of things, so probably the big question coming into next week will be Buller. I know some people this week did Buller to Drinkwater. It was probably a move that I was probably against because I thought if you've got Buller now, you keep him for round 19. Now in hindsight, obviously that looks ludicrous because Buller's come and scored 15 points, and Drinkwater scored 173. And it doesn't matter what Buller does next week, you are probably not catching Drinkwater's points or his price tag. So yeah, sorry, any Buller owners who are encouraged to hold. Yeah, I guess this is the fear that a lot of people is a lot of people reason why people sold Buller last week. Tigers attack without Coruscant and Brooks, were they going to struggle? And we've seen now, I think, enough evidence that they will struggle. So Buller, it's tough because next week against the Sharks are relatively Origin unaffected. Look, we still don't know the team list for New South Wales. Maybe Nicho Hynes gets a run out for game three. We don't know yet. Assuming that Moses stays for game three and assuming Luai stays for game three, let's assume that Nicho Hynes doesn't play Origin. Like, that Sharks team are really not losing anyone for Origin or anyone major for Origin. So they'll be pretty much full strength. The Tigers, to be honest, are not losing anyone either. But they'll lose Stefano, put it that way, if Stefano stays for game three. So yeah, Buller just seems like one who it's very awkward now because you probably don't want to trade him out in round 19. If you even wanted to go to Drinkwater, he doesn't even play that week. So is that a move that you would do? Buller is probably going to have a high break even coming into next week, which again makes things a little bit tricky. So Jay Schubert has Buller for approximately a 56k price drop and 148 break even. So that does put people who own Buller into a tricky spot. Very, very tricky because he'll get to about 60k with a high break even against the Sharks. He again could throw up maybe 50 points. He could be 600k in round 20, and then again even round 20 I think they've got the Knights, which is not a bad matchup. Round 21 is the Dragons. He's kind of got this draw that wants you to that's kind of enticing for you to stay in there, but by the time you want to sell him in round 22 maybe he could be like 550k, maybe it could be even less than that. So yeah, it kind of also depends, I think, on when Luke Brooks is back. So I'm just going to very quickly check on NRL.com casualty ward when he's due back. I think the initial for Brooks was a 3 to 4 week hamstring injury. Let me just have a quick look here. So Tigers, Tigers, Tigers. So they've got Brooks back for round 20, and they've got Coruscant back for round 22. So they could probably get Brooks back after the bye, which might help things. So maybe that's enough to keep Buller, but I think Coruscant, to be fair, has probably been, if not equal, a bigger miss than Luke Brooks. So even with Brooks back, Buller might not be doing that well anyway. So yeah, very, very tricky, I think, if you're a Buller owner. People are saying round 22, round 23. NRL.com at the moment says round 20, but sometimes they can be a bit out of date. So I might just have to consult NRL Physio, the good friend of the show, NRL Physio, and see what he says about Brooks. But yeah, Buller owners, I'm not sure what you do, to be honest. I'm not sure what you do, because he'll play next week for you, but it's a tough matchup. And thinking out loud, you could maybe go to a Gutherson who plays next week. You can't go to Ponga. He doesn't play next week either. But yeah, just thinking out loud, there's not a lot of fullback options actually for next week. All the best ones, Drinkwater, Ponga don't play, Gutherson plays. He's probably maybe the most feasible one as a trader next week. But even then, you might be... if you're good on round 60 numbers, to be honest, I can see some merit in going early in that trade, because you've probably made a lot of value in Buller. You don't want to lose all of it, I guess. And if Tigers stay that like this, Buller is not a keeper in the fullback spot. So, you know, this could be a time where you just say, look, fine, it feels weird trading out a buy player, but if that guy's going to get you 30, 40 points and you can lock in a guy like Gutherson who's been going really good in the last few weeks, that might be actually a worthwhile trade. Will Kennedy, is probably someone I should have mentioned. Yeah, so Kennedy scored 75, plays every game for the rest of the season. He could be someone that you could flip to for... You can actually go down to Will Kennedy for about the same price. So that could be a popular trade people do next week. And to be honest, I don't mind that. I don't even mind that. Yeah, David saying Buller to Kennedy is the move. Yeah, Kennedy's probably the one who I forgot about briefly. He's probably the one that you'll trade in, I think, next week. But to be honest, I think if you're a Buller owner, even though he plays next week, I think that's a feasible sell. I think that's a feasible sell. So I'm a Bateman owner. To be honest, I'll see what I do with Bateman. I'll keep him from next week. But in round 20, I'll probably have to make a decision between Bateman and Preston. I'll probably be selling one of those two to get back to Fifita. Up until this week, I was thinking Preston. But Preston still seems to still pull out these good scores, even when the Bulldogs got absolutely smashed. And he still ended up scoring like 49 points. He could be impacted by Viliami Kikau returning. But Bateman in the middle, if the Tigers can't generate any attack, Bateman's kind of capped at ceiling-wise at 60. Only scored the 33 this week. Obviously, can't really rack up base stats when he's standing behind the goalpost that much. I still think he played about 70-ish minutes. So I think his minutes were still not the issue. I think it was just the way that the game went. It just wasn't conducive. Like, the ball wasn't in play a lot to generate a lot of base stats. Okay, sorry. He only played 54 minutes at lock. That is a bit of a concern. Bateman only playing 54. Last week he played about... Or not last week, because they're on the bye. But the week before he played about 70. 54 minutes for Bateman is a bit of a concern. If he gets the same thing next week playing in the middle, that might be enough for me to say upgrade him to Fifita instead of Preston. But we'll see what happens in a week or two from now. But I'll keep Bateman for next week. But yeah, at the moment, I think if you didn't have Bateman or Zay Papali'i at the moment seems to be the guy actually who's better, because Papali'i's playing 80 minutes on the edge, which hasn't been great for the defense for the Tigers, but better for Papali'i itself for Supercoach. Yep, Bateman to Murray, that could definitely be a trade for post Origin as well. But for me, it'll be Fifita who I'll be targeting, I think, in that 2RF. Very quickly, we were speaking about Will Kennedy. Okay, let's, before I get to the next set of games, what was par from Hamish? So if you just quickly check my pinned message in the chat, I've got the par score kind of thoughts over there, but par seemed about 1450. Like mid 1400 seems about the par score. It was a huge week. So William saying any 5-8s to get playing 19 for Buller and Ponga to fullback. Sorry, I'm just having a quick think here. So I'm just going to very quickly bring up the draw just so I can see who's actually playing, like every team who's playing round 19. So you've got in round 19, you've got the Bulldogs, 5-8s. I mean, Burton's probably playing Origin now with those injuries to the centres for New South Wales, so Burton's out of the question. I don't think you're going anywhere to Bulldogs play anyway. You've got Canberra. You've got the Dragons that week. I wouldn't be going buying Jack Whiten, to be honest, even though it's a good matchup. He has the buy in round 20 anyway. It's probably no one from the Raiders. From the Dolphins, so someone mentioned it earlier in the stream. We'll talk about it soon as well. But yeah, Jeremy Marshall-King looks to be out again for a few weeks. He looks like he's aggravated that AC joint issue. And apparently Wayne Bennett had a comment that he could potentially be out for the rest of the season. So if Jeremy Marshall King is out for the season, that's not good for the Dolphins, but it's probably good for Cody Nikurima, who probably will play at dummy half, I imagine, then. And Cody Nikurima, again, had a pretty good game again against the Broncos. He's actually been really, really good for people who traded him in. He is available 5'8 hooker. So he's potentially a guy who's got dual, who will play next week. It's not a bad matchup. It's the Titans in round 19, Titans without Fifita and Tino. I think Cody Nikurima, if Jeremy Marshall King is out for an extended period of time, he's potentially a 5'8 William, who I think you can consider, who plays round 19, and he does play round 20, which does help. From the Titans side of things, you're probably not considering Kieran Foran. New Zealand, so you've got Johnson. I mean, Luke Metcalf has been good, but there's been a bit of a delay to Tamari Martin, but I still think I wouldn't be buying either one of those two at this point. I think that's kind of missed the boat on Metcalf. Parramatta, 5'8". I mean, Dejan Arcee, maybe. He's actually been really good since he stepped in. Probably not a Supercoach long-term option, but maybe it's a short-term option to cover round 19. But again, not a huge option there, I think. Sharkies, Matt Moylan had a really big game. I think he ended up scoring 140+. 108, sorry, he scored. He's 440K, but he's probably not consistent enough. So, I mean, I know he had a good score this week, but I don't know if you'll rely on that week in, week out. Dragons, do you really want anyone from the Dragons? Probably not. Rabbitohs, Cody Walker is the one who stands out for sure. I think Cody is probably the best 5'8 next week to own. And then you've got the Tigers. So, again, you're not buying anyone there. So essentially, the 5'8 spot is not strong for round 19, but Cody Nikurima seems to stand out. I like him, especially if Marshall King is out for the rest of the season. And because then you could see Cody Nikurima at 5'8 partnered with Isaiah Katoa. You could see Sean O'Sullivan playing. Well, you could still see Nikurima could play dummy half. He could play fullback. I think he'll get a spot in that team somewhere, where I think he'll be fine in your team as a trade-in potentially. I'm a bit late for the scores, but I've got to brag about my 1687. Duncan, again, really highly rate the username. I won't repeat the second part of your username, but I rate it. Fantastic score. That's a huge, huge score. I think, just to answer your question, William, I think Nikurima could be the option. Amal, what happened to Sammy? So Phil Sammy, I think he picked up something in the warm-up. So I think he swapped to 18th man, and I think I can't remember who was the guy who came in to, was it Jojo Fifita? Jojo Fifita came in to replace him, but I think it happened very, very late. I think it was in the warm-up, so doesn't sound like it was something hugely major. Hamish saying, Truva to Drinkwater, I've got 531k in the bank. Mate, I can't knock that trade. I traded Truva to Mulatalo this week. That obviously worked out. Truva not getting any attacking stats, only 36. So I think that was a good trade as well. And with Isaac Tungo having a great game and just getting better and better, that probably means that the ball is less likely to go to Truva. I mean, at this point, I think if you can afford to get Drinkwater in, I think I'll just do it. Very quickly on the Dragon Sharks game, I don't really think I need to speak about this too much. I think it kind of went the way that most of us would have expected. Hines doing the business. Nikura, to be honest, really tried an attack stack reliant. Didn't really have great base stats, but he had two line break tries. So that got him 60 of his 97 points. Mulatalo, very happy with him. Scored a double. Talakai, I'm surprised, only 82. I thought he would have gotten more points on updates because I thought he was maybe missing a couple of like a try assist or something. I think Moylan must have kept it, but Talakai was good. Condolences, sorry, apologies again to anyone who I really kind of recommended, Sione Katoa or maybe Jesse Ramien. I mean, Ramien scored a try off a kick, but Sione Katoa, the ball is just not getting to him. I think it kind of was just a function of the Dragons were that bad defensively. The ball didn't have to go to the wing to score the try. Hines could just pass it to Nikura, and that was enough. There was enough gaps in the edge of defense for Nikura to run into. Didn't even need to go to Sione Katoa. There was one play where Katoa was there, but I think it was Will Kennedy made a break, but didn't have to pass to Katoa. So, yeah, Katoa, unfortunately, just not getting any quality attacking ball. But I think if you bought him now, I think you just kind of hold him. On the forwards, probably not much. I mean, Wilton, solid, 61. Will Kennedy was good with 75 points with a line break try. So I think he's probably the guy at fullback if you need to trade in a guy who plays round 19 for Buller, for example, we kind of mentioned already, he's probably the best option you've got. But you could potentially hold off on that if, say, you want to eventually get to Drinkwater instead of a Will Kennedy. But yeah, very happy. I think a lot of the popular guys from the Sharks did well. And the Dragons, to be honest, there's just not much interest from my perspective. Not really looking at trading any of their guys in. I mean, Jacob Little's been solid. Terrell Sloan, to be fair, has had a good few weeks, but just too inconsistent for my liking. And I think my center wing is okay without buying Terrell Sloan. Matt says, Dill Brown could be back next week, Amon. Just stand down policy is lifted. Just waiting to see if the NRL will want to punish him more. My view on that is I don't think Dill Bags will play because, yes, the no-fault stand down has ended because he's now said he's at fault. So the no-fault stand down is only when there's, I think it's still up in the air as to what the plead is, if it's guilty or not guilty. But the fact that he pleaded guilty to two counts, like, I'd be shocked if Parramatta decided to play him. So the NRL the NRL are basically saying he can play, but Parramatta Eels now it's up to their discretion. And I just can't see how they'd let him play after especially pleading guilty. Like, they've been good. Dejan Arce stepped in. I think it's just more of a reputational thing. Like, I mean, you kind of put a lot of their fan base off, I think, if they played him. So I'd be shocked if Dillbags was back, to be honest. Yeah, so I think on the Sharks, Dragons, to be honest, I don't really think there's much to really discuss there. I think a lot of the Sharks guys, I think someone a little bit earlier did ask, is Mulatalo still a buy? Absolutely. Mulatalo is still definitely a buy for me. Sharks are still really great trade-ins. I mean, Tigers in the bye week. There'll be a few teams, I think, next week who you really want to be targeting with really great matchups. The Sharks are one of them because we already discussed they're not going to be very origin-affected. Mulatalo, just having a quick look at Jay Schubert's predicted break even. So I think Mulatalo had a reasonable break even coming into this week. So Jay Schubert, again, I'll post his Twitter in the chat so you guys can see who I keep talking about. But he posts after each game indicative break evens and price changes, which is good. Really helps me out just thinking kind of original trade plans. But yeah, so Mulatalo will have a 66 break even next week and make only 8,000. So he's not going to be going up a massive amount in price. So he will still be around the 620K. A matchup against the Tigers, Mulatalo, I think, will be one of the heavily owned guys who I think will hurt if you don't have. So yeah, for me, absolutely, Mulatalo is still a trade-in. A lot of people who are owning Nick Meaney saw a few things in the chat about Mycar saying time to trade Meaney out. Look, Meaney has just not been delivering. The Storm have improved, but he himself has just kind of fallen away a little bit, just doesn't seem to be getting as involved in the attacking stats. I feel like part of that is due to Jerome Hughes has now improved a lot. So I think he's commanding a bit more of the ball. And look, to be fair, Meaney was versing Penrith, who are the best defense, and were very, very good in the last kind of 50 minutes of this game. But yeah, Meaney for the last couple of weeks hasn't been delivering. He doesn't play round 19. If you don't own Mulatalo and you can do Meaney to Mulatalo, to be honest, it's probably a move that I would do. So Meaney probably is looking a trade out, I think, at this point as well. Just hasn't quite had the couple of good scores that we would have wanted, that we were seeing at the beginning of the season. Just while we're on that game, I may as well mention, so Munster was obviously a big trade in. He was one of my original trade targets, but I just thought with the round 19 buy, potentially getting a rest in round 20, although I think that risk is low. And the Penrith matchup, I thought, let me just try and get someone else instead, like Mulatalo, who plays round 19. Happy with that move. I think that was the right move for my team, and it's given me an extra number for next week and more points for this week as well. But, I mean, Storm were good. Penrith, though, were just bloody hell, they're good. I mean, the last 50 minutes, like, they turned it around at the back end of that first half, and then they just carried on for the second half, and elite team, all without Cleary. Isaac Tonga has been really great. I think he's definitely an option to consider post-Origin. Doesn't play the round 19 bye, but he's a good, solid centre wing option who doesn't give you bad scores, but it just seems like he's just getting better and better each year and even every game he plays. Penrith's draw for the run home, to be honest, actually, Tungo is looking a great pod centre wing option because in round 19, Penrith have the Dolphins. And then in round 21, they've got the Bulldogs. So you could bring him in round 20 and he could deliver really good scores in those 2 weeks. And he could be going up quite a bit in price as well. They do then run into the Sharks and Melbourne again in round 22, 23. But those games are at home, which is good. Then it's Manly, Titans, Parramatta, and then the Cowboys, round 27. So maybe the only potential knock against Tonga, if you're looking at him as a run home guy, is maybe round 27, they get a break, but they've got no more buys for the rest of the season after round 19, so he'll be safe if you trade him in round 20 from a buys perspective. And yeah, there are some good matchups in there, but Panthers are Panthers. They can score against anyone. So I don't know how much more there is to touch on. I mean, Dylan Edwards, a little bit disappointing. Only the 39 points, no major attacking stats, so just the base stats. Kind of already commented on Tarouba. I think if you can afford to hold Tarouba, he's a fine hold because those round 20 and round 21 matchups that I just mentioned are really good. But if he's your upgrade, say, to like Mulatalo next week, Hamish had bazillions in the bank and he was going Tarouba to drink water, like those are definite upgrades in my opinion. So those are trades I'm for, but he's not a must sell. He could be a handy option for the run home just as like a 6th or 7th centre winger's depth. Hamish saying, heard Pappy completed last week's captain run and was successful. If he gets back just before the start of head-to-head finals, is he a potential trade? We'll have to kind of cross that bridge, Hamish, I think, when it comes, because like, to be honest, if Pappenhausen was named in a few weeks' time, I still don't know if I'd be jumping on straight away, because you just have to think, with such a long time off, he's not going to be 100% match fit, nor do I think he'd be 100% confident. Just like, he won't be that full sprinting, full tilt Pappenhausen that we love. So yeah, for me, Pappy, like, that's something that we'll cross, I think, eventually. Now, I wouldn't use that as a reason to trade out Nick Meaney, but if you want to use anything to build your narrative to trade out Meaney, then you can use that potentially as well. Before I get into the next game, thanks guys for the views. 154 viewers, which is amazing. Do drop the stream a like if you are enjoying it. Any other big blowout games? I mean, Knights, Bulldogs, we kind of already mentioned it earlier. But yeah, Callum Ponga, what a man. What a man. Yeah, so someone, I think it might have been Ian earlier, saying, goal-kicking Ponga, is he a must? Is he a must if Ponga is goal-kicking? Yeah, sorry, this is from Steezers. So Steezers was asking earlier, Ponga goal-kicking, is he near must-have given he is 5'8 and fullback? So based on his score, he'll get up to about 750-ish K, and he'll have a low break-even. Doesn't play round 19, but he'll play every game after round 20. Now, I do like the Knights run home. So, Knights run home. Round 20 is the West Tigers, which is great. It's a West Tigers game at home. Then it's Melbourne in round 21, which is tough. But then round 22, Canberra. It's away, but sure, could be good there. Dolphins round 23. Bulldogs at home in round 24. Gets a little bit tougher with the Rabbitohs and the Sharks, but then round 27 is the Dragons. So, to be honest, to me, that run home is quite good for the Knights. You've got games, again, I mentioned it in my news, I'm going to keep plugging it, but I do recommend going to this newsletter. I think being able to think things through and type it makes me sometimes give better analysis than I do on the Tuesday stream. But I mentioned that newsletter, like in that last period for the run home, he's got games against the Tigers, Dolphins, Bulldogs, and Dragons. Outside of that, you've got Melbourne, Rabbitohs, Sharks, and Raiders. So it's kind of a 50-50 draw, but I think with Ponga, the way that he's playing, I think those kind of four or five easy matchups will more than offset maybe a slightly lower games in those tougher opposition games. So for me, Ponga is looking, must have probably not, but he is looking like a really great, really, really good fullback or 5'8". Like, Walker will have the bye around 20. I mean, Walker probably is a run home 5'8". Walker and Munster are probably run home. I like him. I like Ponga at fullback as well. Because now you've got probably the top three or four being Gutherson, Drinkwater, and Ponga. And maybe add Latrell when he's back. But yeah, for me, Ponga, not a must, but I think he is a great trade-in, I think, for the run home. Because I think there are some really good matchups that are coming up for him. They've got a lot of home games as well, Newcastle. So that's another reason why I like him. And I think it's kind of just he looks like he's in good form as well. Like, obviously, it's not just today. The last few weeks he's been good. I think just committing to, say, not playing Origin has probably helped him, where he's just had those question marks about, like, oh, will he try to get a spot back and whatnot. He's just kind of put that all to bed and said, I'm focusing on Newcastle. I'm just going to focus on the team. If he's goal-kicking as well, that makes it even better. And he was goal-kicking so good. 10 from 10 today, which is... 11 from 11, sorry, I should say. I think, yeah, he was fantastic at goal-kicking. So yeah, really, really like Ponga as a good trade-in for the run home. Outside of this game, I think Mazu still is a good trade-in at centre wing after round 19. We mentioned the draw already; it's very good. He's got the base stats, so he scored just the one try, and he's cracked 100. We saw that last week against Penrith; he scored 68 points without any attacking stats. So he's just a great option for Supercoach as well. I wouldn't read too much into Lachie Fitzgibbon's 138. I think that was just more the Bulldogs being bad than Fitzgibbon being good, although he was good today. Similar with Braden Best, I think you probably want to see it a bit more consistently with Braden Best, because he does this a couple of times a season where he goes on a couple of games where he has a really good run, and then not so much. I mean, the season average is 53, which is, look, it's not bad. But like his last three scores before this, 43, 49, 39. His high score before the season was 84. He's a bit more up and down. Like, I wouldn't trust him. Like, I'd still prefer like a Mazu, for example, over a Bradman Best. I just prefer the winger, and I think Bradman Best has got better. Sorry, I think Mazu has got better base stats. On the Bulldogs, I mean, really, there's no massive Supercoach interest here for me. I mean, Preston, I think will be, if you had to hold him, fine. But if he's your ticket to Fifita in a few weeks, I think that's perfectly reasonable. Viliame-Kikau will be back as well, and I think that may potentially eat into Preston's minutes. Although Kikau could just come in and then Preston goes back to the right side, because Ockenbull I don't think has been that great as a back rower. So yeah, interesting one. But yeah, to be honest, nothing really of interest I think at the Bulldogs. Just see if there's any questions that we can segue into another matchup. So we've already spoken about Storm Panthers. I mean, very quickly, someone's mentioned here. So Matt's mentioned here. We'll quickly touch on some Munster and Meaney questions because I've seen a couple come in. controversial opinion, but Ponga performs better at 5'8 than Munster. I'm assuming you mean from a Supercoach standpoint for the rest of the season. Look, that's not probably insane, especially if Ponga is goal kicking. Like, if he's goal kicking, it just means that even in those tough games, he probably scores like what, maybe 50? About 50, 55 on a bad day, or that's his low score. Munster's kind of generally between about the 70 to 80, and occasionally gets those big 100 plus point games. Looking at Melbourne's draw for the run home, it's not bad either. It's pretty good. You got Roosters, Knights, Parramatta, Penrith away, Canberra, Dragons, Titans, Broncos. So I'd probably say the Knights draw is better because I think they've just got a few extra games against really tough opposition, but Munster is Munster. So I don't think it's crazy to say Ponga will outscore him, but I think ideally what I'll probably try to do is I might try get Munster and Walker as my 5'8s. I'll keep Ponga at fullback, and then maybe that second fullback spot, I can potentially rotate Gutherson to maybe like a Drinkwater. So there's another question that's come in from Charlie, which is Gutho to Drinkwater? Well, he's basically saying Gutho to Drinkwater, or would you say that's sideways? I kind of think it's a little bit sideways, but to be honest, Parramatta's draw does toughen up a little bit after round 20. So they've had a good run the last few weeks, and Gutherson's definitely profited off that. I mean, he's had games against Bulldogs, Manly without Origin players, and then the Dolphins, who are not in a good moment. He's got the Warriors in round 19 at home. Titans round 20 could be good if, the Titans rest their players. After that, though, I don't love that draw. Round 21 onwards, Cowboys away, Melbourne away. Look, Dragons at home is good, but then it's the Broncos away, Roosters, Penrith, and then the bye. So I think really outside of that Dragons game, it's not the easiest run of games. So I could potentially see a situation where you do flip Gutherson to Drinkwater. You wouldn't obviously do it next week when Gutherson's playing, but maybe in round 20 if you wanted to jump the gun, it could be a move that you do. I haven't, like, Gutherson could be a season keeper, but looking at that draw again, like, it's definitely reasonable to say potentially that you could sell Gutherson to Drinkwater. So I think that'll be a question that we'll ask maybe in round 20. But yeah, I think given the Parramatta's run home isn't the easiest, that might not be totally crazy. Sorry, yeah, and the question on Nick Meaney was, is it okay to hold Meaney? Still, it's definitely okay to hold Meaney because, he's the goal kicker for Melbourne Storm. Just think we're not seeing quite enough from him at this stage. That makes me think that it's, like he's not going to burn you, I think, if you sell him, put it that way. Like, for example, if you haven't got Mulitalo, I think Meaney to Mulitalo is a really good trade for next week. All right, let's quickly mention the Broncos Dolphins game. So I've seen a question here from Luke. Do I still think Asako is a good trade-in? So I've kind of said this for the last few weeks, but like Asako scored 52. Again, solid, nothing crazy. He is expensive as well. Again, referencing Jay Schubert. So he's got indicatively Asako for a... What has he got? He's got him for a... Where is it? I can't find it. Sorry. He's got it for 126 break-even and losing 64K this coming week. And I think with Asako, the reason... Like, he plays round 19, which, look, he still could be a good trade-in. If he loses 65K, he'll be about... He'll be in the low 700s. And he'll be playing round 19. And the round 19 matchup is pretty decent. It's round 19 against the Titans, who'll be missing their origin players. So I think Asako, if you view Asako as a season keeper, which I do, to be honest, I think next week's not a bad week to trade him in if you want to get an extra round 19 number. If you're okay for round 19 numbers, you could potentially wait, because then round 20 is Penrith, then round 21 is a bye. So I think you could, like, you'd be trading him for round 19, but then the 2 weeks after that could be a little bit, you know, more difficult. Round 22 onwards, though, I think Asako is a great trade-in. Because you've got Bulldogs and Knights back-to-back in round 22, 23, then the Roosters and then the Tigers before it's the Cowboys and Warriors. So the run home for the Dolphins is good. So I think Asako from round 22 should be in most people's teams. But if you wanted to get early on him and try to get that extra round 19 number, I do think Asako is a fair trade-in next week. If you want to play the money game a little bit, then I think maybe you wait until round 22, because I think there could be a good chance he goes further down in price by then. Stefanos, who do you think will be the best replacement for Campbell Graham? Yeah, so Campbell Graham, I think, has picked up another sternum injury. I don't think he'll be back until round 21. So again, I think if you're looking center wing, I think Asako is still fair as a trade-in. I think Mulatalo, any of the Sharks players, like maybe a Talakai, still good options as well. Who else have you got there? I mean, Val Holmes doesn't play round 19, so that's not ideal. But if in round 20 Val Holmes plays, Rabbitohs are already on the bye, maybe you just go Campbell Graham to Val Holmes. I really like Val Holmes as well as a trade. And I've got a bad feeling in my stomach that Val Holmes is going to be someone who I won't be able to get back to this season, because I think I need to prioritize Fifita, I think, in round 20. And Cleary will probably be back round 20. And Penrith have the Dolphins in round 20. I might get FOMO and just jump on Cleary that week as well. And then that could be all my money in those guys, and I have no more money spare to upgrade to Val Holmes. So, yeah. But Val Holmes is probably another option, I think, at centre that you could trade Campbell Graham to. I mean, if you can afford to hold Campbell Graham, it's not a bad option, because, look, he's been really good all season. But Rabbitohs do have a few buyers down the line, and, yeah, maybe you can use that opportunity to get a round 19 number. Little bit of recency bias in that take, surely. Cameron, do you mind just mentioning what take? I make a lot of takes in the roundup stream. If it's about Nick Meaney, potentially, yes, because he has been good for the majority of the season, I'll give you that. But the last few weeks, he has definitely tailed off, and I'm wondering if that's kind of coincided with Jerome Hughes' improvement as well. But yeah, let me know what take that is, because I'm keen to see what you think. Pierre Kuru looking like a dud trade. Yeah, look, not ideal. I was very keen on playing him this week because I thought the Dolphins' edges would be poor. He seemed to just be a bit more of a decoy. Like, he wasn't really getting used a lot in attack. Like, you know, the guy outside of him, Herbie Farnworth, he was the one who was profiting the most. Scored a double, 108 points. I just didn't really think they needed to use Pierre Kuru as the guy in attack. Now, look, it's only 1 week in, right? 36 points. That's kind of pretty much exactly what he scored last week in base stats as well, which is not the best, but I was hopeful for some good attacking stats. Ideally, most weeks I won't play Pierre Kuru. So I view him as a trade-in who will make maybe a little bit of money, but he was more of the downgrade, because he was what allowed me to go from Taruva to Mulatalo. So, look, he's 290K. If he scores 40 on my bench, if I need to plug in 40 most weeks, or any other week I had to play him, it's fine. But ideally I wouldn't be playing him most weeks. Obviously, he doesn't play next week as well. I would hope for some more 50-plus games. Otherwise, if he's just going to sit on my bench scoring 40s, you know, I traded Schuster out for him apart from that try assist, was looking like it was going to get similar. So I think I've kind of gotten the same points output, but I've got it at a lower price as well. But yeah, apart from that, I mean, Sol and Cobbo had a fantastic game. I mean, that chip and chase was just filthy. Absolutely filthy. It won't make me trade in Cobbo. I mean, I'm generally not quite biased, but when it comes to Supercoach, but you know, you guys probably know if you watched me last year, I got absolutely burnt by Katoni Staggs and Sol and Cobbo at the beginning of last season. So I'm kind of just like, oh, Staggs, I'm just like not too keen on going back to at all. Maybe Cobbo, because at least he's a winger, but he had a fantastic game. That chip and chase was, the chip and chase was unreal, unreal. Payne Haas killing it, 79 points. Just, I think he'll be a great option to target after next week as well. No Tom Flegler for the next few weeks, so Payne Haas will continue to be asked to play big minutes, which I'm pretty sure he did this week. And even when he doesn't play big minutes, the guy's a freak. He's a freak. Now, he did, there was a report from NRL Physio that he had picked up a hamstring injury. So let me quickly find that tweet as well. I think a few of you guys were mentioning it at the beginning of the stream, so I've only just got onto it as well. So Physio has mentioned, Payne Haas is in doubt for Origin 3 after picking up a minor hamstring injury. With the high re-injury rate of hamstring injuries, or hamstring strains, sorry, even the most minor issues often require 10 to 14 days to return to play. Origin 3 is in 10 days' time. So it seems as though he's very touch and go for Game 3. And because it's a hamstring, maybe the Broncos don't have to play him in Round 20. So there could be a chance where Payne Haas isn't available in Round 20. So I think with him, in terms of a trade-in or trade... Well, not a trade-out, but as a trade-in, I think you just have to see how this hamstring injury plays out. And because I think the way that NRL Physio describes hamstrings is there's no impact on their performance when they come back. So if a player comes back from a hamstring injury, there's no impact on their performance. So if Payne Haas was averaging 75 before hamstring injury, and he comes back fully fit from a hamstring injury, he'll average 75. The issue with hamstring is the re-injury risk. So the chances of the probability of him getting another hamstring injury are higher. That's the main issue. So I think with Payne Haas, they might just be very conservative with him. But yeah, obviously, if you've got him, you're probably just holding him for the time being. But as a trade-in, we'll just have to see what happens come round 20. Apart from that, probably no real other major options, I think, out of the Broncos. Dolphins, it's really Asako, Cody Nikorima, I think, potentially. I think if you are looking for a downgrade, hopefully we get some updated news on Branko Lee. Otherwise, Valence Tavare looked good, scored a double, so he ended up on 68 points, so he had a good game. So I think anyone who has him as a downgrade, you'll be happy with that. He probably would be one of the better downgrades next week as well to cover round 19. So yeah, he's probably someone I think still that you can look to maybe downgrade to if we get some better news about Branko Lee. We just don't really know at this point. Okay, anything else? We haven't really spoken a lot about the Warriors-Rabbitohs game. I'm seeing this comment from Paul, which is, SJ's in doubt next week, awaiting birth of his child, and 200th now should be in New Zealand. Okay, so it sounds like what you're saying is that he could potentially be missing next week due to personal reasons, and that also means that if he doesn't play next week, it means his 200th game will be in round 20, which will be in New Zealand. Right, okay. Not ideal, because part of the reason I bought SJ was to cover round 19, but let's see what the updates are on that one. But thank you for the update on that, Paul. Yeah, really, outside of the Warriors, I think it was a bit of a weird game, to be honest. I think I tipped the Warriors. I thought the Warriors were comfortably going to win. But yeah, credit to the Rabbitohs, they played quite well. Murray was good, so he potentially could be an option to trade in after Origin. Damien Cook was solid off the bench, getting a try assist for Murray. Johnston was very good as well with 66. Walker was solid. Kalomatungi, 57, pretty much all in base, pretty solid as well. Pretty much all of the Rabbitohs were solid, but it was just a good team performance for them in pretty horrible conditions. Tohu Harris, I'm going to say it again, solid, 61 points. Fanua Blake was hurt by that sin bin, so that obviously hurt his score. And SJ, Nico Klukstar, DWZ, a lot of the guys who went very big last week, it just wasn't their game. You know, only scoring 6 points, very wet conditions. So yeah, he was probably what hurt one of my score getting really big this week was SJ. Only 20 point score from him this week. I'll quickly fly over the Raiders Titans game. We kind of spoke about Fifita at the beginning of the stream. He should have got more than 107 points. Should have been 120. He got absolutely dudded a try. But look, I tipped the Raiders, so I'll take the win on my tipping. I think I actually had a pretty good week for tipping this week. Let me just quickly check. I think I got the Warriors game wrong, and I think that was it. I think that was the only game I got wrong. I think I tipped everything else perfectly though. Even as a Roosters fan, I know, apologies to any other Roosters fan out there, but I tipped Manly. It was looking like we could have got the win, but okay, no, sorry. Wait, what? Oh no. I got 5 out of 8. Apparently I tipped the Roosters. Okay, I must have changed that sometime later in the week, because I'm pretty sure my first thought was Manly. Okay, so I got 5 out of 8. I got the New Zealand Warriors game wrong. I tipped Melbourne, actually. Sorry, I tipped Melbourne. Okay, that didn't work out. And I tipped Roosters. So that wasn't great. 5 out of 8. Eh, it's okay. It's fine. It's better than 50%. Yeah, Raiders, not really too many options, I think, outside of Corey Horsburgh. He'll be out for round 19 because of Origin. And Taps will be good next week. Jared Croker has been good, 57 points. But yeah, outside of that, I don't think there's much from a Supercoach standpoint. Finally, on the Roosters Manly game. So there was a couple of questions about Joey Manu. So Matthew is saying, would love to know what your plans are for Manu. Has started playing very well at a complicated time for owners. Yeah, look, he's definitely picked it up. I think he's getting the attacking stats. I think I'm happy to hold Manu at this stage. Obviously, the recency of his good scores is helpful. 94 points today, scored like that big ton when he was at fullback. Even last week, I think he got a pretty decent score playing at center. Just going to have to remind myself of what he scored last week. Give me a second. Yeah, he scored 91 last week against the Raiders. So, yeah, Manu's been really good. I think what's handy with Manu is just the duel, like that 5-8 center wing. He's probably not someone I'm rushing to sell, and put it that way. I'm pretty happy with how my center wing is looking. I mean, if I had to sell Manu for like a monster down the track, maybe that's something that I do, you know, via duels. But up until then, I think Manu I'm happy to keep at this point. Roosters' draw for the run home isn't the easiest, I will admit that. Like, after round 19, it's the Storm, Titans away, Broncos away, Manly, Dolphins, Parramatta, Tigers, Rabbitohs. So really, it's the Dolphins and the Tigers matchups. Maybe the Titans around 21. So there's not a lot of easy matchups. So, I mean, I think what I'll probably do with Manu, now that he's got a couple of good scores, he'll probably go back up a bit in price. I think with Manu, unless there's a centre wing who stands out who I don't have that I really want, like let's say Manu to Holmes, maybe that's something that I do. Aside from that, though, I think Manu will probably stay until he gets maybe a really high break even, and maybe if he's around the 700k, maybe that's what leans me towards selling. But until then, I think he's fine to hold at this stage. Garrick, again, very solid, 84 points at fullback. He's just a great option. Goal kicking, got a try assist as well. Cherry Evans was very good this game as well, but only 64 points. Yeah, look, Josh Uster scored 43 points, and that was with a try assist. I think he got the try assist points, didn't he? Yeah, he got the try assist and line break assist for Ben Trbojevic and scored 43 points. So look, he scored 7 more points than Piakura, who I traded in for Schuster, and that required a line break assist, try assist. So I have no qualms at this stage having sold Josh Schuster. All right, cool. Fiddler came out and said the Haas news is fake. Okay, well, we'll have to see and wait and see and get some updates on those ones. All right, we've kind of covered some of the games I skimmed over, but I'm trying to just tackle more of the Supercoach relevant stuff. We have also gone for an hour, so I'll take a couple of questions from the chat, and then I think we'll just wrap up the stream there. But guys, if you have enjoyed it too, please give it a like as well. Would trading out both Colin Hess and Sean Kepi for Nikera be a worthwhile trade? Roger Duckling, if you can trade out Colin Hess and Sean Kepi, and that gets you Britton Nikera, do that trade 1,000 times over. I think Nikera will probably be the second best second row forward to have for the run home outside of Fifita, in my opinion. Okay, Cameron, you're saying that the take was about the Ponga over Munster. Yeah, to be fair, yeah, there is probably a bit of recency bias in that Munster had only a 31-point game, but don't forget that Munster scored like 100-plus just before Game 2 Origin. So yeah, it's probably slightly recency bias. I can kind of see where he's coming from, though, but I think a lot of it comes down to if Ponga keeps goal kicking. If Ponga keeps goal kicking, then yeah, that's golden. Ideally, I think you try to have both. I think if I had to think of my ideal 5-8s, it's probably Cody and Munster. ideal fullbacks. I think if Ponga is goal kicking, I think it edges it for me over Gutherson because I think his run home is better. So I think Ponga then becomes maybe potentially one of the top two fullbacks. And then I think the other one is either Latrell or it would be Drinkwater, to be honest. I think that's kind of how I view those four spine positions. And I think halfback will just be Hines and Cleary. That's kind of how I think I view those halfback, 5-8, and fullback spots. Guther to Drinky after the Cowboys round 22 bye. Yeah, I think that could be a fair trade as well because we talked about the run home for the Eels being quite tough and the Cowboys, if they continue this hot form. Hopefully Gutherson just maintains his price tag because he's quite expensive now. I think he's about 800 and... How much is Gutherson? Let's have a quick check. Gutherson is... Clint Gutherson is 893k. Holy heckers. And he has a 47 break-even, which he can definitely clear next week. Hopefully Gutherson just hovers around the 800s because that might mean actually going to Drinkwater is somewhat affordable. Who would have thought Ben Murdoch-Masila to Cam Murray? Now, that anyone who's doing that trade... That must feel fantastic. Salty saying, thank you for your info and effort of mine. Best Supercoach podcast. Very much appreciate that. I think on that very highly positive note, I think we'll wrap it up there. We've just gone over an hour. I will upload the audio of this as well to podcast. So if anyone has missed it and you want to listen to, say, tomorrow morning on the commute to work or whatnot, we'll be able to do that. So thank you all for joining me. Hopefully you all had a good weekend of Supercoach. We'll be back sometime next week for the round 19 preview, but have a good rest of your Sunday evening and catch you in the next one. Do give the stream a like on the way out and do please subscribe as well if you haven't already. See you in the next one.